Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know the way. We do not know where you are going." Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you don't, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let's ponder a bit. What do you think Jesus' tone is here with these disciples? So often I think we think, and it sounds, we interpret it as a sound of frustration and judgment when we just pull it out. It's easy to get frustrated with Thomas and Philip's questioning, but when we consider the setting, considering Jesus' first words, considering what has happened, good job, kids. When you consider these words, this story, this reading is part of a larger story. Jesus' first words here, after Judas has left, after Peter's been told he's going to deny him, the disciples are painfully aware of what's going on. And they're also painfully aware that it's kind of chaotic and it's uncertain and they don't know what's going to happen. Things feel out of control. So Jesus' response, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Could Jesus be responding not with judgment and frustration, but with compassionate and loving reassurance? He comes down and he enters into this space. He enters it not with shame and finger pointing and judgment. He enters into this conversation with instruction and a promise. "Okay, folks, here's what's happening. I must go. I must go to the cross and all that lies ahead, the death and resurrection. I must go. And in going, I prepare a dwelling place for you. Now, don't let your hearts be troubled. You know the way." Now, I can imagine that Thomas and the other disciples' brains and hearts are kind of spinning. Have you ever been in that moment where life is just a little chaotic or a little uncertain, and your hearts and minds are spinning and you're confused and you need solid answers? Anybody ever been there? I imagine that's where the disciples are. Because they don't know anything beyond what Jesus has told them to prepare for his death. They're not sure what's to come next. So Thomas's question makes a lot of sense. Lord, we do not know where you are going. And Jesus responds lovingly, with assurance, without judgment. Thomas, you and the disciples, you know the way. You have dwelt with me here on earth. You have walked with me. You have ate with me. You have did ministry with me. You know me. You know God. You are known by me and God. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. So then enters Philip, and he pipes up. Okay, Jesus, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But Jesus, I am sure that we do not know enough. So Jesus, here's what I need to do. Times are uncertain and unclear and frightening, and the anxiety's getting high in this room. And I need to have some control. I need to have some concrete understanding. Jesus, I need more. Show us the Father even more clearly, and we will be satisfied. And again, consider Jesus' loving promise, loving assurance and promise, even preparing Philip, Thomas, and others, not so much just for his death, but for their role in what is to come after his death and resurrection. Jesus responds, O Philip, and all the rest of you, you have been with me all this time, and you still have doubts about knowing me? You still have questions? You have been with me, dear Philip. You do know. You have seen. You have what you need, even if you don't feel it or don't think it's enough. Even if you don't think you see, have faith and trust. But if you need more, remember the works of the kingdom of God. Remember the works of the kingdom of God you have been part of with me. You have witnessed with me. You have seen with me while I have been here dwelling with you. And then here's where the excitement of this reading happens. And I don't think at the moment the disciples hear, and often we don't hear, the exciting part of what happens. While Jesus is here dwelling with the disciples and humanity on earth, the disciples dwelled with Jesus, they dwelled with God, and they were part of the work of the kingdom of God with Jesus. Now, this kingdom work is being passed. Are you noticing where the kingdom work is being passed to? You know, you have witnessed, you have been part of these works. Now I want to take a time out here and say, anybody resonate with Philip and Thomas in this text? Anybody resonate with that? In humanity, there are uncertain times. There are chaotic times. We're put in positions where we don't know the future, and we're longing for more information. That we are put in positions that we may even be saying, God, I need something concrete. Anybody ever done that? We resonate with Philip and Thomas. And here's the beauty. Jesus' answers to Philip and Thomas are the same for us. You know the way. You have seen. You've been part of the works. And that I go, Jesus goes to make dwelling places, not just for our eternal home, but Jesus to dwell with us, be with us today. We don't, like Thomas and Philip, we don't have to have all the answers. Like Thomas and Philip, we don't have to have it all together, but we need to dwell with Jesus. Because here's what's happening. Jesus dwells with us. So, Thomas and Philip, the disciples, you and I, Jesus says, you know, you have witnessed, you have been a part of these works. Now you are sent, held in the promise of the resurrection. You now are vital parts of the works of God dwelling in you, original disciples. And because these works of God and many disciples before us, we are included in this as well. We are sent into the world to share this good news and be part of the work of the kingdom of God on earth, here and now. Sharing words of action, peace, grace, and love. Sharing the good news, the salvific news of Jesus Christ to the world. And Jesus says, believe in me. These dwelling places aren't limited to a place for us after you die. My going to prepare a place for you isn't just an end-of-life promise. But Jesus goes to make a way to dwell with us in our everyday lives. Jesus says, believe in me, dwell with me, and you will do the works that I do. Because the work of the kingdom of God is and will be done by you, disciples in the gospel, and you, us, and Jesus, as we are sent together as workers in the kingdom, in the world. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Let us join.